Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in November 2019, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Now that Halloween's over, are you excited for Christmas?
What about Thanksgiving?
Who cares about that?
No, stop.
Hello.
Okay, no, wait, no, stop, stop.
I'm John.
Stop.
Do the intro.
Thanksgiving.
Do your intro.
No, we have to talk about Thanksgiving first. You can't just skip over Thanksgiving.
But do your intro.
Well, they already know who I am. It doesn't matter. Thanksgiving is more important than Christmas.
Welcome back to Busted Stuff.
Okay, I have multiple bones to pick. So, I get the whole thing where it's like, oh, Halloween's over, we can celebrate Christmas now, but Thanksgiving, it's November. That's the month for Thanksgiving. How can you just skip that?
I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying I'm traditionally more excited for Christmas than I am for Thanksgiving.
You don't like turkey?
No, I do. I just prefer ham.
Really?
Yeah.
Like baked pit ham?
Like the glazed Christmas ham.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always found it's too salty.
Really?
I mean, okay, to be fair, turkey is not good. Like,
turkey,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I'm
it's
not
super dry.
Yeah, that's kind of why I prefer the ham, because there's more moisture to it, I guess.
John loves his moist meats. but no, because turkey's really dry. Well, that's not true. If a well-cooked turkey,
yeah,
you know, like the turkey we have at Thanksgiving is always good, because if you baste it enough and you don't overcook it, you leave the skin, make it all juicy, then it's good. But a well-cooked turkey is never going to be as good as well-cooked chicken.
All right, yeah. No, I'll give you that. But, so, I guess Thanksgiving, I do prefer some of the foods to Christmas foods. But they're also very similar, because it's
the same season. It's really the same meal.
Yeah.
Except Thanksgiving is more like, it's about the meal. Christmas is like about the
It's about everything.
It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
And
family.
The tree.
It is about the tree.
Yeah. What, wait, is that?
So, the tree, that's like not,
that's pagan, right?
Yeah. I was just reading about this before we started the podcast.
Oh, good.
So, apparently, the tree was an addition, it started in Germany.
Yeah.
Because I think around the Reformation.
Nice. We're just talking about the Reformation.
Are you talking about the Reformation right now? Yeah.
Really great time.
Yeah. So, Martin Luther is said to have,
did he invent the Christmas tree during the Reformation?
So, he didn't
you know what he did?
He pins
his 95 theses, and he just, like, batters down the church door with a Douglas fir.
Wow.
And then he's like, by the way, Christmas now has a tree, and also, I hate the Catholic Church.
That's two bold statements in one.
Right?
So I was looking at it. I'm looking at our show notes that we have, because we always come prepared to these podcasts and don't just look on Wikipedia. The modern Christmas tree originated during the Renaissance of early modern Germany. Its 16th century origins are sometimes associated with Protestant Christian reformer Martin Luther, who first added lighted candles to an evergreen tree.
Nice. Boom. So Martin Luther invented Christmas as we know it.
Martin Luther is Santa Claus. Did you know that?
Well, no. Santa Claus, isn't that a separate thing? Or is that also German? Saint Nick?
Oh, I'm not sure. I didn't check that before the show
But
started.
You know Santa's counterpart? Krampus? Are you familiar with Christmas demons? Because there are so many Christmas demons.
I am familiar with Krampus, but only vaguely, and I'm not familiar with the higher concept of Christmas demons.
Okay, I just wanted to look it up So the weird thing about Christmas demons is, for some reason, Iceland has a ton of them.
Okay.
And they all have ridiculous names, and they all involve eating children.
Nice.
Literally, I looked it up. First one I get is Gorilla.
Whoa.
So, Gorilla is the thrice-married Icelandic giantess. She lives in a mountain cave.
Hold on. Let's slow down a bit. The thrice-married what was it?
So she's a giantess.
A giantess.
Living in a mountain cave with her third husband right now.
She's like an ice giant from...
Yes.
That's crazy.
But her big thing is she has extrasensory powers that allow her to detect misbehaving kids. So then she kidnaps them and cooks them into stew. She's also the owner of, oh, I'm going to butcher this one, Yola Katorin, the hellacious Yule cat and mother to the mischievous Yule lads. Oh, the Yule lads.
The Yule lads.
The Yule lads are okay. Hilarious.
Wait, all right.
I just got to, yeah, so there's a whole bunch of them. There's 13 of them. It's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but it's Santa Claus and the 13 Yule lads. And they're all like little demons. For instance, Stubby.
Mm.
He's the short one.
Isn't that one of the dwarves? I don't know the dwarves.
I don't know the dwarves either. Just like Grumpy.
There's Grumpy and
Goofy.
No. And Goofy is like Mickey's friend.
Right. Grumpy. Less Grumpy.
Snotty.
Yeah, you know.
Is that a...
No, there's definitely not a Snotty.
Not a Snotty.
But there is, my favorite Yule lad is Sausage Swiper.
Wow.
He hides in the rafters and steals meat when no one's looking. And Sheepcoat Claude, he plays in ravines and harasses sheep. And the rest of them usually just, like, eat kids and stuff.
That's fair. I mean, everyone knows that child stew is, like, a traditional Christmas meal.
Right.
That's what makes it better than Thanksgiving.
The child stew?
The child stew.
Well, I mean, Krampus would say that. The Yule lads would probably say, like, sheep and sausage.
Right.
Basically your typical English lunch, bangers and mash. That's the Yule lads. I don't actually know much about Krampus, though.
I don't either. I heard there's, like, a conspiracy theory that he's an alien.
So...
Which sounds ridiculous and stupid to me.
Oh, so apparently he's half-goat, half-demon.
Of course.
He comes from a pre-Christian pagan past. And I guess he eats kids.
Probably. So, did Martin Luther invent Krampus as well, if he invented the Christmas tree?
I don't think so. I think Krampus is pre-Christian.
Oh.
So I think he's more of like a wintertime demon, which
gotcha.
Then got associated with
Christmas.
Because they were like, you know...
We need an anti-Santa.
Right, he's like the anti-Pope.
Right. Whoa.
It's actually... It all fits into the medieval
canon.
It's
like the edgy, like... Pope who wears all black and is like...
The anti-pope?
Yeah.
Wait, I forget... Anti-pope...
It's like Shadow the Hedgehog, but in pope form?
Yes. Wait, Shadow is the counterpart to, Wait, who's Shadow related to?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Get up on your Sonic the Hedgehog lore.
Sorry, I'm not well caught up on the lore.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, no, anti-popes were just, like, rebellious bishops who were, like,
oh,
no.
Those are real. I thought you just made
oh,
that
no,
up.
No, 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 yeah.
Okay.
So, like, if they don't like the
I thought
pope,
it was a bit.
If you don't like the pope, it's like, I'm the pope now. And that's an anti-pope.
Can anyone just do that?
I mean, yeah, but usually it wouldn't work.
Right.
You have to have, like, significant support. So that's why, like, say in France, in Avignon, they basically started a whole new papacy. Because they were like, no, the Roman papacy, it's not working for us. The Roman families have too much influence, so let's start our own thing. And then there were French popes for about 100 years, and that was a schism.
Interesting.
And then basically what happened later is in like 1514, there was the Council of Constance, where they're like, okay, guys, we can't have two popes, and then another pope declared. It's like, we can't have three popes, so let's organize and make one pope. And they elected this guy Martin, who sucked. And he was really weak pope, and since then, popes have been kind of weak. Actually, one of the funniest popes, I think was he a French pope? Pope Boniface? Did I tell you about Boniface and the slap?
No. I've not heard of the slap before.
Yes.
Though it does make me mildly uncomfortable, I have to say.
So, Pope Boniface the VIII, right, I forget, I think he was a Roman, yeah, right, because he succeeded Celestine the V. So, there was this event called the Outrage at Anagni, some Italian
Perfect.
Town. Basically, a bunch of French guys didn't like the Pope.
Right.
So they're like, okay, we got to get rid of this guy. So they go down to this town of Anagni, and the Pope was like holed up in this castle there because I think he had fled Rome for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And all the people in the town were like, yeah, let's get rid of the Pope. And so they rushed in there and they took over the castle. And then Henry the Third, some Henry, there's like 50,000 Henrys.
Yeah,
King Henry of France or Prince, I don't know,
of
somewhere.
King Henry of France.
I want to say
are there Henrys in France?
There's Henrys everywhere. It's okay. Kind of crazy. I want to say it was Henry of France, but it might have been a different... I think it was Henry of France. Oh, wait, no, it was Philip. Yeah, it was Philip.
There you go.
Almost got it. But basically, so Philip comes down with, like, you know, a couple thousand knights and stuff. They get to the Pope, and they're like, hey, stop, because the Pope was being bad.
Right.
And he's like, no. And then so they slap him. But like really hard. And they, I think, I don't know who actually did it. It might have been Philip himself. And he was wearing a gauntlet on his hand. So he's wearing a full armored hand.
So that's got, that's like, if you're slapped by metal, that's got to like leave a, quite the mark.
It left a mark both physical and psychological.
So much so that it was recorded in history as the slap.
Yeah, no.
It's the most famous slap in human history.
Probably. It's up there, I'd say. Yeah. I'd say. So he slapped him so hard that the villagers were like, wait, this isn't cool. And then they threw Philip out. But then Boniface, he was so wounded, like he was physically wounded, and then he was also just totally, he lost all of his dignity. He like went and hid somewhere and then he died.
Oh.
But
heroic end.
Yeah, he got slapped so hard he died.
Can you think of any more famous slaps?
There is a TV show that was called The Slap.
That also sounds not good.
I think I remember seeing an ad for it. The premise was like, there's some like neighborhood garden party, you know, it's all hunky dory. Right. And then some kid is like acting up, and then some parent just slaps the kid, and then it's
and
like
that's
this
the
whole
premise of the show.
That's a whole thing. I think that's what it was.
Nice.
I don't know how long it might have been canceled. It was definitely canceled. This was probably years ago.
That sounds like it's either like the 60s or like the 90s.
Yeah, The Slap. The first episode was February of 2015. The last
2015.
Episode, yeah, the last episode was April of 2015.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do you want to hear the synopsis?
Please, share.
Hector and his beautiful wife, Aisha. Not just his wife,
his beautiful wife.
They plan a party for family and friends, but the day doesn't turn out as they expected when Hector's hot-headed cousin slaps a misbehaving child. The party ends abruptly with the child's parents threatening legal action, and a chain of events is ignited that will uncover secrets, challenge core values, and leave the party guests and hosts forever changed. That just sounds so dumb.
That sounds like something that was cooked up in, like, some executive boardroom, and is like, what'll get people angry and talking on social media? What if a child is slapped? Yeah. That'll
yeah,
work.
That'll get it. And like,
and people will be angry at that and watch the show.
I love the last sentence of it where it's like, it'll challenge their values and change the world. Like nothing will be the
it's
same.
Like the most generic.
That's like every
descriptor of anything.
Yeah, every conclusion sentence I've ever written to a bad essay. It's like, this thing was good or bad, and it changed the world forever, for the best or worst. And like that's every conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a week. It's not surprising it lasted only 3 months. But I mean, the fact is they still shot it, and they
show was made. People signed on to act in it. It was written, it was produced, it was advertised.
that's how I know about it. It's the weirdest advertisement. Like, so if that's your premise, a kid gets slapped, how are you possibly going to build anything worth watching off of that? That's such a small premise.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, it could literally be two episodes. Kid gets slapped, there's a lawsuit, it ends. But I guess the way they wanted to do it is like, it uncovers dark family secrets of slapping history or something.
of slapping history?
It was the first slap
of many.
It was
the first of, in a long line. Back to the age. In fact, Martin Luther invented the slap.
Yeah. He actually slapped the Pope.
It was a pagan tradition before then.
What if every episode of The Slap just ends with someone getting slapped?
Like, kind of, like slap and then a freeze frame. and then a credit scroll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the first episode is they slap the kid and everyone's like, and then the second episode is like they slap the guy who slapped the kid.
And it has like
kid.
Really corny like music in the back of it too.
Yeah, it's like maybe like, you know, it was like 80s action movies that were really kind of cheesy but fun to watch with like the cheesy synth sound.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
So like the kid gets slapped or some dude gets slapped. Or it's like,
I'm kind of picturing like a comedic big band. So you've definitely never seen this. There's this German soap opera that were...
Oh, hold on. I'm well-versed in German soap opera.
Oh, of course. Have you ever heard of Unsere Lehrer Dr. Specht?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you showed me part of that.
Oh, excellent. Well, for listeners who definitely don't know who that is, or what that is, it's a German soap opera that I'm watching for my class right now, because I'm taking German language.
He's actually just watching it for fun.
I just like watching German soap operas.
Wait, when you were watching, couldn't you just, like, not understand any of it?
I mean, not really. So they speak really fast, and it's in German, and there aren't any subtitles, German or English. And so it was quite hard to listen to understand. But it's about this teacher from West Germany who goes to teach in East Germany right after German reunification.
Okay.
Except the premise isn't necessarily about like political like dynamics at the time. It's more about the teacher's super hot. And then like a lot of people just kinda think he's hot and flirt with him.
Hot capitalist teacher woos the communists.
Yes. That's exactly what the show is. And the opening and closing it's like almost Comic Sans style font with the credits, and it's just this ridiculous like big band comedy. Like it's nice. It's unbelievable. Go find it after you finish listening to this podcast, because wow.
How many episodes are there?
There's like, it was like one of the most popular shows in Germany in the 90s, and so there are like multiple seasons.
Nice.
I think there's like 7 maybe.
See,
maybe more.
That sounds outrageous, but like I feel like every other country looks at American TV and every
like,
show is
what are
kind
you
of outrageous. I mean, The
yeah.
Slap, that's a show
that existed.
I mean, it wasn't very well
it wasn't
known.
Yeah, but it still was there.
But I mean, think about wait, is it NCIS? Is that the one where like someone says a quip and then it's like, yeah,
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing, and that's so cheesy.
Oh yeah.
Like,
but that's part of the charm to it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Dr. Specht isn't
Specht.
Cheesy.
Dr. what?
Specht.
Specht.
I think it's supposed to be Specht. I always want to say Specht because it's CHT.
Oh yeah.
It translates to Dr. Woodpecker. I'm just throwing that out there. So that's there. Ruminate on that, why don't you?
Specht.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's not charming though. Because it's kind of ridiculous.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, it really is.
I have nothing else to say about that. I was thinking about Dr. Specht and The Slap.
So that was our TV segment.
Yeah, I feel like it has to come up at every point. I'm wired right now.
Yeah? Why is that?
So I guess what I drank at lunch today.
What did you drink?
Antifreeze.
Oh.
No, it was coffee.
All right, I was going to say. I was going to guess coffee.
Yeah, no, I had a little cup of Joe.
Yeah?
I put some cream in it.
You're not normally a coffee drinker, are you?
I never drink coffee.
Yeah,
I can count on maybe half a hand the amount of times I've had coffee this year.
Hmm.
It's like 2 times. This morning I woke up, and I was like kind of tired still. I didn't get a full 8 hours of sleep, I guess. And also, like I was working today this morning, and I kept napping when I was reading, and I was this isn't good. I'm going to drink coffee. So that way I'm awake during this podcast. Because a lot of times, you know, the 2 p.m. crash, we all know about that.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely counteracted that. I feel like I really, really came out swinging.
Yeah? You're kind of...
I'm going to, like, die in half an hour.
Energized.
Probably. Yeah, I feel really awake right now. Is this what people feel like all the time?
Well, if they're on coffee, then sure.
If they're on coffee.
I mean, hey.
Hey, it is a drug.
Caffeine is a drug.
Absolutely is a drug. Caffeine addiction is a thing.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee either. I kind of feel like it would help me in my day-to-day life,
yeah.
But also I don't want to...
I don't want to use it as a crutch.
Exactly.
I feel like weak if I use coffee, you know?
Yeah.
So I pride myself on falling asleep in the middle of class.
Do you?
Yeah. Just kidding, I hate it. It's near what's the worst is when you're aware that you're falling asleep and you realize...
you can't really do a whole lot about it.
Like you become totally illiterate.
Yeah.
But you think you're literate.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny to look back on those instances. Like, if I'm taking notes... and I'm having one of my my tired moments, I write the same thing like 12 times, mm-hmm. but I keep erasing it and rewriting it, and every time I rewrite it, I'm like, oh, I got it this time.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I look at it coming back later, and it's literally just, like, 4 lines, and there's, like, a little scribble next to it, and, like, it's crossed out 15 times, but, like, nothing makes any sense. Like, there's a section of my ethics notes right now.
Yeah.
It's just a block that's scribbled out, and below it says, like, 2 words. It's, like, zerg, and then, like, morality. And like or something like that.
Of course.
And the same thing happened last year. Every time it's a 2 p.m. clean, like any 2 p.m. class, except my ethics is at 11 a.m. So that's 11 a.m.
It's just because it's ethics.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first lecture of the day, 3 days a week, so I'm usually like...
The worst is like when you're on the verge of falling asleep, but not quite there, and you like you just kind of head bob and like wake up as soon as you do so.
I always panic when that happens. Yeah. It's like you realize your eyes are closed. And you're like, how long have my eyes been closed?
Exactly.
Like, there was a time.
It's like a very visible thing too.
Yeah. No, and you can tell in class when people are doing it. You watch their eyes kind of like just fall over, and then they like jerk up again, and then their eyes kind of like it looks like in the movies or something, you know, when like it doesn't look real. It looks like they're joking.
Yeah.
But there was this time last year in my Roman art and archaeology class where I was falling asleep and my head kept bobbing and I was holding my pencil in my hand and I like shot awake and I just threw my pencil. I threw it down the table and there was no one sitting next to me, which was good because it was in one of those lecture halls where it's like the long, you know, in Healy, they're like those long tables.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've had a class there, but it's like, it's the way it's set up is I was on the end of it sort of and I just chuck my pencil and I kind of look around like, haha, you know how you just like throw your pencil sometimes? And get out of my seat, grab it, and I mean, people probably noticed, but, like, that was the most absurd, I think,
right.
It got.
I mean, whenever that happens to me, whenever I casually throw my pencil,
yeah.
Whenever I, like, wake up, I always do it with a jolt, and that's, like, I'm always, like, afraid that it was super visible, because, like, my chair creaks, and, like, my hands slap the desk.
You know, just, like, scream. And everyone's like, no one looks. You're like, oh, I guess I imagined that or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pencil throwing thing is one. I threw my phone the other day.
Did you?
But I wasn't even falling asleep. I was in the cafeteria. The cafeteria. What is this? High school? I was in O'Donovan's by the waterfront. Oh,
right.
And I had my phone. I think I was like listening to music or something. And I pulled my phone out of my pocket to like change the song or whatever. And I tried to put it back in my pocket, but then the headphones fell out, and so I was, like, trying to put the headphones back in, and somehow my hand spazzed, and I just, like, threw my phone across the table, it, like, slid across the floor.
Nice.
And I just, like, kind of look around, like, ha, hey, when that happens, you know, guys? And, like,
You're speaking to no one?
No, because, I mean, whenever I eat, the only people there are me and the staff.
Do you eat on off hours?
Like, almost between meals?
Yeah.
I eat at, in the breakfast, it's always busy, but otherwise, I'm eating at dinner. Lunch is, like, 11:50,
right?
You know,
like before lunch opens,
right? Oh no, lunch opens at 11.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So lunch is like 11.
But once the 11 o'clock people have left and the 12 o'clock people aren't there yet,
exactly.
Yeah,
and then dinner number one is at like 4:30. Lunch number two is going to be at like 2. So again, it's empty.
Yeah,
dinner one 4:30 empty. Dinner two is 7:45, and that's pretty full then.
Hmm.
I miss late night. We talked about that, I think.
Yeah, we did.
That was a good time.
Late night Leos.
Yeah, it's the phone throwing thing. I actually dropped my phone the other day as well. I've dropped it a couple times in this past week, and it always happens when I'm moving my headphones
around. It hasn't broken yet, though.
No, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it looks fine.
Hmm.
It's a little dirty.
It's on the desk in front of us right now.
Yeah. No, see, the problem with my phone is the case, it gets dirt in it somehow, and the dirt just sort of, like, becomes part of the phone, and I haven't really cleaned it.
It fuses.
Yeah, so there's just, like, weird spots.
Mm.
On the phone, I don't know. It's a little gross. I try and clean it sometimes. It doesn't really work. Whatever.
Just kind of slap it.
What?
Just slap the phone.
Then it's going to sue me. They're going to make a drama about it.
Yeah, but you might get the dirt off.
That's true. Oh, you know what we did this morning?
We went for a run, didn't we?
We went for a run. Isn't that cute? Roommate run?
The two of us together, we woke up at 8:30 to 8:45 in the morning. About and went outside in the freezing cold, a brisk November air of Washington, D.C.
I'm loving this weather lately. It's been so nice.
It is really nice.
It's like 36 right now. It's warmed up a little bit. Yesterday it was the same. I mean, it was like 29 early morning today.
It's nice being like
cold.
Cold. Yeah, I do prefer the cold much more to the hot.
Yeah, I hate sweating. I'm sweating right now. It's really annoying.
Is it coffee related?
Just my entire every single system in my body is activated right now.
You're just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I'm just like bleeding out of my eyes, you know.
Right. You know, everyone does that. You know, everyone throws their pencil over the phone every once in a while.
Just coffee.
Who
things,
doesn't
am I
bleed
right?
out of their eyes?
Yeah. People who are always like, you know, oh, I'm not me without my coffee. It's like, I'm not me if I'm not bleeding out of my eyes.
Hey, bring on the darkness.
What?
And I assume bleeding out of your eyes, like some sort of satanic ritual.
Oh, I mean, perform. I was thinking more like summoning Krampus or something. I guess like, that is satanic.
It's like a pagan thing.
Right, it is a pagan thing.
It's festive. It's Christmas.
Yeah. I'm just getting the Christmas cheer and just summoning Christmas demons. I mean, that is Christmas.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? I agree. Oh, running. I was running.
Was that a reference to something?
It was like a vague Forrest Gump attempt.
Oh, okay. So we went for a run. We went down by the Potomac and kind of ran along the
Potomac
walkway there. We went like a mile and a half out, mile and a half back in. So
it was actually
solid 3 miles.
It was 1.6 on the way back in.
So good for us.
We did exactly 5K.
Nice.
And I was saying when we got back, it was the first time I've run a real 5K, I think, since my cross country days.
Hmm.
And both John and I were sort of washed up ex cross country runners.
We used to be good in high school.
That's all we talk about.
Now we're not.
We talk about how
it's the theme of this podcast, how we used to be kind of good and now we're not.
No, literally every time we talk about running, it's like, yeah, I remember back in high school.
Yeah.
I was running 5 milers, sub-7 pace. I was so fast. And it's like, now it's like I get back from the gym and I'm like, John, guess what? I ran like a mile.
It's like, and I'll like, hell yeah, dude. And be like nice, great job.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of, it's really depressing because, you know, it's one thing to be washed up and like an ex-athlete, you know, you're like 70.
You've like done your career.
You were like a college football star.
Yeah.
But with us, we're like two random
kids.
I'm
19 years old.
Yeah, we're both 19. We're like studying things and we're like, yeah, I was back in the day. As in like 18 months ago.
Yeah.
When we had fitness.
When we were somewhat fit. That's okay. I mean, we did pretty good today, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, we held our own.
Yeah, so we had a goal of like 8.5 minutes per mile.
Yeah.
And we came in kind of under that.
We averaged 8:13 pace.
Yeah.
Our last tenth of a mile was 5:53 pace,
mm.
which doesn't really count.
Because we, like, kind of sprinted in.
Yeah, like I was racing.
Yeah.
I was pretending that I wasn't racing, but I was racing you.
Like, I know.
There was no way I was going to let you beat me.
I know.
I just hope you
know
that.
I was very close.
Yeah, no, you think that.
Yeah,
but
no.
But you weren't.
I was, like, right there.
No, you were. I saw your shadow, and I was like, not today. No, because I was almost thinking, we ran to this stop sign, and I was thinking, what if we kept going and run right to the dorm? Because it'd be, like, an extra 200, maybe. And I was like, I don't know, I'm kind of gassed. This is a perfect 5K.
And then I yell, how about the stop sign?
And I was like, boom, done.
Perfect.
Like, I don't want to be the one who says to stop, but if someone says to stop, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm down for that. Yeah.
I have this, speaking of Christmas, I have this visceral memory of...
Visceral.
So, don't highlight that word.
Visceral memory. That sounds really violent. You know what? Cause it sounds
because
like,
it was quite violent.
Well, you know, yeah, because viscera, that's your guts. Mm. Eviscerated. Mm. That's where you get, like, disemboweled. Those are fun words.
The linguistic theme continues.
Visceral Christmas.
Visceral Christmas.
Visceralness.
We, back in high school, indoor track, I did it all 4 years, and one of the traditions of the team was to...
Sacrifice... to the Yule
we would bleed out of our eyes and raise...
let's ditch the eye bleeding thing. It's a little too
it's a bit too much.
Okay. I was thinking like you leave some sausages out for the Yule lads.
Yeah, and they come and get all the moist meat.
Ham.
And so we go every Christmas Eve. We would have really the hardest workout of the year in the morning.
Like the morning of
the
Christmas?
Morning of Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay. Little Christmas morning. Sorry, guys. Indoor high school track.
Yeah. So, we would all go out to Spino Ridge, which is this large hill in our town. And my town is called Rocky Hill. So when you highlight a hill as being particularly hill-like in a town named after a hill, then you know it's serious business.
Are there a lot of rocks?
There are.
Did the glacier come through there or something?
No idea.
Okay.
So we would go run on Spino Ridge, and it's this 800-meter uphill incline on a road.
That's a good length.
And we would just do drills sprinting up and down it at various intervals for, like, at least an hour. Most of the time it was raining.
Of course.
Or snowing, somewhere in between, like slushing, and there would be ice everywhere. And you would just have your long sleeve shirt and shorts. And it was just brutal.
That sounds like the bowl. The bowl was this section of one of the races we would do, the Shore Coaches Invitational at Homedale, which is actually one of the most famous cross-country courses.
Mm.
And the bowl is this bowl. You kind of run along the top of it, you make a right turn, you go flying downhill for like a third of a mile, and then you just have to come up this really steep hill.
Mm.
And the worst part is at the very top of the hill, it's the steepest. It's like a 90-degree turn and like a 20-degree incline, and you basically just like crawl up it. But there's always, you always get to the top, and like, I remember, I've only run that course once, I think, and or twice. And I get to the top, and you know when you're like running up a hill and you're hunched over and you're just like, you know?
Yeah, just like that.
And
can you repeat that again?
You know, it's like
perfect.
So you get there, you run over the
top.
I'm
glad the eye bleeding was too much, but that's
That's just like being out of breath. And I remember like kids would start walking, and they all like, you know, they're like crying almost. My favorite was, we're running, and this kid behind me is like, I need water. And then the coach is like, he's like, come on, like, come on, Jimmy, just keep going. He's like, Coach, I don't think I can do it. And it sounded like a movie or something. It sounded scripted. And I was like, what's this kid doing? I was like, come on, man. And I mean, I'm saying that now, but in reality, I was feeling the same way. I just wasn't vocalizing. But I always
because you
that.
Couldn't vocalize because you were too tired.
Exactly. I was just like kind of salivating everywhere. And just, like, you know, that's my favorite part about cross country. There's just like,
The running saliva is real.
It's like,
awful.
It's kind of gross, but
it is not, like, it is a gross topic to talk about.
But it's the only time. Well, it's one of the few times where it's socially acceptable to just be like, have like snot and saliva just everywhere. You know, it's like, damn, that kid's going hard.
Yeah, he's
covered
a trooper.
In spit.
Yeah,
like that's what's great about the team. You know, you're comfortable being around people like just slathered in like mud and snot and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a character builder.
Yeah.
You really know the person after you see them slathered in mud.
Just crying.
Yeah.
Huddled in the fetal position.
It's real.
Not even running.
It's all right. Are we talking about cross country still?
I don't know. Are we? No, actually, when we were running today, you know when it's really cold?
No.
Okay. But another thing, when we were running today, my ears hurt when I run.
Okay. Do you get like the post-run?
Yes.
The post-run weird filter in your ear or something?
I think... I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's I don't know how to describe it, really.
It kind of feels like your ears are cold, but, like, you can feel the blood moving around. And I think part of it was because it was cold, so a lot of blood went to the ears to warm them up or something. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Yeah. It's really unpleasant.
Another thing is, I feel like... Here's another washed-up cross-country story.
Good.
Back in the day, we could do a practice, and at the end of practice, I'd be like, yeah, that was great. I feel good. Now if I run, I'm wiped for the whole day.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Like, my heart was still pounding 2 hours later.
Mm.
Like, I went to read, and I was like... That's like a little...
Hyperventilating.
That's an exaggeration, because I did have to walk up the stairs, so that might have been part of it.
No, yeah.
But like even now, I still feel a little bit of the ear thing.
Man, I'm exhausted just walking up the stairs to this studio anyway.
I mean, yeah, there are like 4 flights.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know what I think it has something to do with, like, in practice you're kind of distracted, and you also have a good cool down in practice.
That's true.
Like, we didn't stretch.
We didn't stretch. We didn't cool down.
We didn't do an ab workout.
We were really sloppy.
We just ran, came right back, and then I ate breakfast right after.
I took a shower, then I ate.
Yeah, I may or may not have taken a shower.
Ooh, ooh, it's important.
Yeah, I brushed my teeth, but I mean
good.
You know, I washed my face.
Anyway.
Think of it this way. I need to stop shampooing my hair because it's good for hair health. And I really didn't sweat that much today. It was so cold, I didn't sweat. So
fair enough.
I was actually pretty clean at the end of the run, when you think about it.
All right.
Hygiene aside.
Anyway.
Don't worry, I'm a clean boy. Actually, I need to shave. I felt like weird.
Yeah.
Kind of... You can see this, right? My weird stubble that's going on?
Not, I mean, a little bit, but you, like, never get as bad as I typically do.
Yeah, I mean,
I
can't really grow good facial hair.
I just kind of, it's like every couple days I look like a caveman.
Yeah, because you get, like, the neck.
Yeah, I get, like, the sides of my face, like, my chin on my neck. It's really, it's, like, intense.
I get, like, a really flimsy goatee and then some sideburns.
So you get, like, the Shaggy from Scooby-Doo kind of look?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Scoob. Yeah, more or less.
Did you see that they're making a new Scooby-Doo movie? I did see that. And it's, like, weirdly animated as well.
Yeah.
It's, like, 3D.
I mean, it can't be worse than the live-action one.
That's... Well, no, those movies are blessed.
What?
They're those cursed. Are works of art.
They're definitely cursed.
Okay, sure.
It's so weird.
No, I understand. They are really weird.
It was, like... You know the Polar Express movie?
Yeah.
It was, like, Polar Express weird. It was just, like, disturbing to look at.
That's fair. It's like they were weirdly cartoony, even though they were real people.
Yeah.
And the
I mean, Scooby really.
Scooby was just
a nightmare.
Yeah.
Just pure nightmare.
Still feel. Haunts me.
I mean, the Scooby-Doo that I grew up with was like the old one where it's, you know, the characters are hand animated and then the backgrounds are all like painted.
Yeah.
Like that was that Scooby.
I was like a vintage style. I kind of like that.
Was there like another incarnation of
there
Scooby-Doo?
There was like a Scooby-Doo Where Are You or like Mystery Inc. or something. It was, like, not the same as the old one. It was like more digitally colored or something.
Okay. I don't really know the Scooby-Doo canon that well.
I remember there was this movie, Cyber Chase.
Cyber Chase? Like the TV show? On PBS?
No. There was the... It's a Scooby-Doo movie called Scooby-Doo Cyber Chase.
Oh.
And it was, like, they had
to freak out.
Find a ghost in the computer or something to that effect. It was on Cartoon Network. I don't remember. I was very young.
Did you watch Cyber Chase?
I don't even know what you're referring to.
So Cyber Chase was... It was a show on PBS. And it's basically like there were these kids and... I kind of forget what they did, but the villain was this guy named Hacker.
Okay.
Hacker. And there was the motherboard. Who was... I think... Yes, motherboard. So, and she was... part of this computer system. I forget the details, but motherboard, they were protecting motherboard from the evil hacker.
Okay.
And
is there some symbolism we can break down here?
I don't know, but Cyber Chase, yeah, I loved that show when I was a kid.
Nice.
It was always weird because the animation they always made it so one of the kids' eyes was really big and the other one was really small.
Hmm.
And it was like a weird decision.
Kind of off.
I was like, okay. I mean, I guess it opens your mind to asymmetry.
It's memorable.
Yeah.
It sticks in your head.
But that's what I remember most. Hacker, and like he would always show up on this screen, and he has this ridiculous chin. He has this green chin, and he kind of looks like Waluigi, except
nice.
Instead of the chin going down, it kind of curls out.
Mm.
And you know, okay, so you know like a Santa elf and their shoes?
Yes.
The little pointy shoes? That's what his chin looks like. Yeah.
That's problematic.
See, here, I'll show you a photo of Hacker.
Okay.
That's Hacker.
Oh my god.
Look at that chin.
Oh my god.
It's the chin of a god.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're talking about how blessed the Scooby-Doo movies were. That is a...
Blessed chin.
Blessed...
No, I don't think Scooby-Doo, like the live-action one...
No, sir, those were pretty disturbing.
Like,
Do you remember the one where Scrappy-Doo was the villain?
I want there to be another one.
The weirdly, like, animated buff Scrappy-Doo at the end.
There's Scooby, and then there's Scrappy, and then what would the third one be? Like,
you want a third one?
I want another Doo.
Isn't Shaggy?
Sausage Stealer.
Sausage.
All the Yule Lads become Scooby Boys.
Oh my god.
There was not Shaggy?
I think Shaggy is Shaggy-Doo, right?
Well, there was a moment where Shaggy became...
Oh, no, he's Shaggy Rogers, right?
I don't know.
I don't know the canon.
I know Shaggy became a dog at one point. They just, like, switched places. Or it was, like, a weird thing, but that was very brief.
Mm.
I don't think Shaggy is a dog man.
That sounds like a one-episode thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was, like, a little spoof, almost.
Did you ever see... There was this Halloween... I know we're past Halloween, but there was this Halloween movie, the Scooby-Doo Halloween thing, where they went to this... castle or like school with a bunch of like monster students and they had to compete in this race.
It
was like a weird drag race but also a school thing.
Like a car race or like RuPaul's drag race?
No, like a car race.
Okay.
Where they were in this like Formula One racing car and they had to race like the Mummy and Dracula and Frankenstein, and it was bizarre.
Huh.
Or it was, they became monsters, they became werewolves, and the only way to turn back was to win the race.
Wouldn't it be cool if, like, that's, like, you can solve anything? It's like, oh, just win a drag race, and you're good. It's like, oh, I have it's heart like just, disease.
Just
get in a car.
Compete in this poker tournament, and yeah. then you'll like, win.
And you're cured. Have you played poker?
Very rarely. Like, family stuff, but not ever, like, not often.
I played poker the other day.
Hmm.
And I think it was Texas Hold'em, and I'd never played before, but it had, we had the chips and everything.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I was doing. I figured it out, and then at the end, I won the whole pot.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it wasn't real money, but
yeah,
it still felt good. And I was like, I shouldn't do this because I will acquire a gambling addiction.
Good plan. Nice.
The, can we get back to Scrappy too?
Sure. Scrappy.
I forget what he looked like.
He's like a short, it's like if Scooby-Doo was a Flintstones character. He's like shaped like a Flintstones character, really short, and has like, but other than that, he looks like Scooby.
Is he like buff or?
No. The thing that I talked about with the buff thing, that was at the end of the live action movie, because Scrappy-Doo was the villain. Like the secret twist was that he was evil and then he like became buff or something.
So he was no longer Scrappy.
Right.
I'm looking up a photo. Oh. Oh, he looks kind of cute.
Doesn't he look like a Flintstones character? Except
he does, wow.
Scooby?
That's a really excellent description.
Thank you.
I want to look up the live-action one.
Yeah, do that. That's the even better one.
I'm kind of scared.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, no.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, no.
It's like the reason that Scooby doesn't work, it's exemplified by the Scrappy-Doo.
That's like Scooby-Doo if he got involved with, like, the meth business. It's like Walter White meets Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
He just looks gnarly.
Mm. The, man, early, like...
Gnarly-Doo.
Cheap... Oh, there's the buff one on your computer screen there.
Wow, I hate that.
Like, just in the middle of their screen? Yeah.
Yeah.
The, early CGI... that's not even really early CGI, it's just...
What was that movie?
Like, I don't remember.
I think it was pretty old. I mean, early CGI, I think. Anything before, like...
2010?
I don't know. There's examples of... Like, there's amazing CGI from before that.
But, like, it's how it's used, though, right?
Right,
because Jurassic Park is, like, the go-to example of really good special effects before, like, its time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you look at what was actually CGI in Jurassic Park... A lot of the stuff was practical, and it was CGI when it was dark.
Yeah, and they disguised it with, like, lightning.
Yeah, and the set design, because it was raining, and there, like, it was dark, and there was one source of light from, like, a park lamp.
I, too, watch Corridor.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this YouTube channel that does videos breaking down good and bad special effects, and I have watched, I think,
it's
all of them.
Really fascinating.
It is good.
It's always entertaining. Highly recommend.
But I was gonna say, like, pre-2010, but like Star Wars, for instance, the prequels, really good CGI. Jar Jar, he looks good.
He does look good. I mean,
Jar Jar, pretty hot.
Yeah. Hey, Scrappy-Doo, Jar Jar. Every person's different.
No, but like I mean, Phantom Menace had pretty good stuff. I mean, looking at it now, it hasn't aged amazingly. Like, some of the animations look weird.
Yeah.
Attack of the Clones. Really
looks
good.
Really good. The clone troopers are CGI.
They're all CGI.
Aren't they? That's crazy.
Revenge of the Sith is amazing. I mean, the effects in that. I mean, you could show that to me now, without, and if you didn't tell me it was from 2005, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a current standard movie.
Yeah,
it looks better than a lot of the stuff you see today because I think, A, they put so much time into it and they were still using miniatures and stuff.
Speaking of Star Wars stuff, how do you feel about the new movies? Personally, I feel like they get too much hate.
Yeah, they're fine.
Like, I think they're just as good as the rest of them.
See, when you think about it, Star Wars, they're not, like, good movies.
They're never, like, amazing art pieces. They're just, like,
they're fun. Yeah,
and
it's like spaceships and blowing things up. It's like, it's every kid's...
Exactly.
I mean, Star Wars is fun because I'd watch the movie and then I'd go play with Lego Star Wars figures and
stuff. Exactly.
And, like, it's great. And
Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga on the Wii
every
person, every, like, Star Wars kid from a generation, I feel like, connects with that one thing.
I remember, like, at the beginning of college, somehow that came up, and, like, literally
everyone was like, Star Wars
Complete
Big
Saga,
time.
Favorite. No, the new ones are fine. And, like, you could argue that, like, some of them actually make more sense than the old ones, and people are just, like, you know, nostalgic nitpicky. I mean, that being said, I don't... Like, I wasn't really excited watching... Like, there were cool moments, but I was never, like... I wasn't blown away in the same way I've been, like, super excited about a Marvel movie, say.
I guess that's just, like, a factor of time, though, maybe? Yeah. Because definitely. Because Star Wars... It's more of a known quantity than the Marvel stuff is, because with the recent Marvel movies, it, like, progressing to Infinity War and Endgame, that was, like, a known thing to get excited about.
Right.
Whereas with Star Wars, it's trying to keep itself under wraps to surprise you.
Yeah.
Like, with Marvel, you knew Thanos was going to be the villain, like...
They've been building up to it for 8 years.
For so long that, you were just waiting for it to happen, and then it happened. Whereas with here, with Star Wars...
It's just sort of like, okay.
You find out, so.
Yeah.
It's different.
And, yeah, I think the biggest thing... I mean, I'm excited for Episode 9, but I'm not, like...
Jumping, like, out of your seat. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like, I'm going to go, like, opening night.
Yeah.
Because that's just what you do, but I'm not, like, I cannot wait for this. My whole life is revolving around this. I mean, to be fair, I haven't felt that way about any movies, really. But I think I was more excited for, like, seeing the last Avengers movies than I was for seeing the newest Star Wars movies.
That's fair.
What was Episode 7, Force Awakens?
Yep.
Like, I was really excited,
to be fair.
Because it's, like, the first time a new movie is coming out when I'm, like, mostly sentient.
Yeah.
I mean, Revenge of the Sith came out, I was 5. So, like, I wasn't really aware.
Yeah.
So this is, like, wow, Star Wars. I watched these movies so many times. Now there's a new one for my generation. And I watched it, I was like, okay, that was fine.
Yeah, I was hyped about it and was excited coming out of the theater and everything. I'm not claiming that it's, like, really good.
Yeah.
But they're like, really enjoyable. And so, I have a good time with them.
What was I going to say? I had a question for you.
What's that?
I don't remember. I had a good question, like, an hour ago. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get them.
Yeah.
And I was like, this will be fun. But now that I'm thinking about it, I can't think of it. And B, I feel like it wasn't even that good.
That's unfortunate.
I do. You know what feels really good?
What's that?
Total change of subject. You know when you kill it in class discussion?
I do know what you mean.
Like
when you just kind of rock it and have, like, a lot to say and it's all interesting.
Yeah, you have a lot to say, but it's not, like, useless and it's not annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I like that feeling.
Like when it's adding to the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always, like, you walk out feeling so good versus those discussions where, like, if it's a class I like and I leave the discussion having participated, like, you know, half a time and it didn't really do anything, I'm like, man, I feel like I blew it. But, like, you come out after nailing it, you, like, get the whole point in, like, one sentence.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
And it's, like, really articulated, too.
It's like, this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
This is why I'm at school, so I can do that.
So I can learn things and grow.
And tell people what these things are.
Yeah.
School.
The exchange of knowledge.
Yeah, school's good. Exchange, like, teach. See, I don't like teaching, though. I just like getting it right. Would you want to be a teacher?
I used to want to be a teacher. Actually, in high school, I was thinking about being a math teacher.
Oh, yeah. I remember you said something about that.
Yeah. I used to want to do that, and then my math teacher told me that it's probably not the best idea, and I decided to listen to her.
He's like, hey, Mr. Math Guy, what was your math teacher's name?
Redacted.
Okay. We will redact that for
an I'm gonna say the word redacted, and when I go to edit this, I'm gonna clip that in there. Redacted.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
So your math teacher, Mrs.
Redacted.
We'll put the redacted there.
Great.
So you went up to her and you're like, hey, I want to be a math teacher. And then she looks at you and she's like, John.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. First of all, you suck at math.
No, I was... hey. You don't... Hey. That's very rude of
me. I'm just assuming you weren't good because you're a gov major now.
No, I was actually really good.
Yeah, I can see that.
I got a 5 on my AP Calculus BC test.
Nice. I got a 4.
Yeah, see? There you go.
I mean, okay, I had a weird relationship with math in high school.
Why is that?
Freshman year, C plus is in Algebra 2.
Ooh.
For some reason, they put me in honors. Algebra 2, which was like, most kids were taking geometry.
Yeah, I took geometry freshman year.
So I took honors algebra 2, C pluses, talked to the teacher. I was like, I feel like this is not working. She's like, no, just kind of do it. I was like, okay.
All right.
So I got used to like 78s on tests.
Yeah.
And I kind of worked around. It was like, okay, pre-calc next year. Worked through it. And then I was getting like A's sort of.
Yeah.
Calculus was a little rough. But like, I've always enjoyed math and I've always gotten the worst grades in math.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know though, because it's like, I guess it means I have to work, which is nice.
See, I always, like, I was like the math kid for a while. Like, that's what I was best at in school, mm-hmm. I'd say. Just because I went to a math and science magnet school in, Connecticut for half the day to take my sciences and maths there. And so I was super into it, and I figured that at some point, regardless of what I'm doing, it's going to involve math.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, once high school started getting rounded out, I realized that I didn't really enjoy doing it. It was just that I was really good at it. And so I kind of decided to do something that I thought was more useful and more interesting and more varied. And so that was government stuff.
I don't feel that way about anything. It's like, yeah, I'm too good at this. I gotta stop. I'm just too good. I'm
gonna do something else. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I was too... I wasn't the best person in my class. It was just that it wasn't super exciting, and so I figured I'd stop. Yeah. And plus, at that point, I was starting to get really confused about it, even if the grades didn't necessarily reflect that.
Okay.
And so I figured... focus on something else that I find more interesting. Government was that, and now it's more like journalist government stuff.
Right on, right on.
So, yeah.
I almost took journalism last spring.
You should have.
I was like, I'm going to take journalism.
And but you didn't.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't...
If you don't want to do journalism, then don't take
it. Yeah, like, I was going to do it like, oh, maybe this is a cool skill, I guess. But at the same time, I've never really been interested in writing articles and stuff.
See, I realized that I always thought of myself about as being, like, a math kid, but also I performed just as well in writing, and I enjoyed writing a lot more and just didn't realize it until college.
I like researching, but I... Well, okay, I don't like researching. I like writing research papers, and I like that a lot more than reporting. Like, I don't want to talk about things that are happening now. I want to talk about things that already happened. And
you can fully analyze it to the greatest extent that you can.
Because, I don't know, it's just more, it's more interesting. I like the past more.
There you go. History.
History.
History major.
Yep. And psychology for some reason.
Where'd that come from?
Honestly, I don't know. I took intro psych and I was like, yeah, I guess this could be cool.
That's good.
But I think I'm just kind of doing it to do it. Which maybe isn't the best reason to major in something, but...
See, I was thinking about it because everyone I know seems to be double majoring.
Right.
So I kind of felt like I should double major. But then I kind of... Then I looked at my options and I was... Maybe linguistics, because I've been really enjoying that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, am I going to be a double major because other people are double majors?
Right.
Is it really worth it? And so I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, think I'm just going to stick with government and journalism minor.
That works. And, like, not saying I don't like psychology. I'm interested in it. That's why I want to major in it, you know? It's just sort of, I don't know how it happened. Like, yeah, I'm going to major in psych. Like, I don't really remember making that decision consciously.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. So I think we're going to probably wrap up around there.
Yeah. We just sort of started, like, talking about stuff.
I mean, that's what this podcast is.
I mean, that last 10 minutes, I wouldn't consider it busted. It was just sort of like kind of normal stuff.
Here's some stuff.
Let's bust it up for the last 2 minutes.
Okay. How can we bust it?
Well, historically speaking, I like history, and we were talking about Christmas. We all know Martin Luther invented Christmas.
It's true.
He also invented Krampus.
Yep.
He also eats kids.
Yep.
This sounds like Catholic propaganda.
It does a little bit. Yikes.
Yeah, I would,
yikes.
Oh, wait. Actually, you know, there were some hilarious propaganda photos that they made. It was like Martin Luther like eating dinner with the devil and stuff. And they're like, oh, look at this guy. He sucks.
Wow.
So we can take it a step further. Martin Luther gave birth to the Yule lads. He's the third husband of
Rilla. One of which is actually Scrappy Doo.
Scrappy-Doo the Yule
Scrappy-Doo
Lad.
Scrappy-Doo is the... How many Yule Lads are there?
13.
So Scrappy-Doo is the 14th secret Yule Lad.
The 14th Yule Lad. That sounds
yeah,
like
specifically a... the CGI version of Scrappy.
So it's like a bunch of weird, like, medieval paintings and then just CGI yeah. Scrappy?
Yeah. It's like old, like, cave paintings and, like, you see, like, these old depictions of something and you...
And just, like, a perfectly rendered Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you imagine if, like, an archaeologist just dug that up?
And just like, found Scrappy-Doo?
It's like, mother of God.
This changes everything.
The History Channel would have a field day. It'd be like, ancient aliens. Like, that show would get so much publicity.
Oh, my God.
Scrappy-Doo the alien. It goes right hand-in-hand with Krampus the alien.
There you go.
Wow. So that's our medieval history lesson for the day.
Yep.
I hope everyone has a good day or week.
Enjoy the brisk weather outside. Mm. Maybe even go for a run.
Jog, have some moist ham.
Ooh.
Don't get your meat stolen by the sausage stealer.
The sausage stealer.
Or sheep clawed.
Don't let Scrappy-Doo steal your meat.
Don't let Scrappy-Doo steal your soul, more like. He's Ooh. Like demon boy or whatever.
That's true. All right.
Have a good day.
This has been Busted Stuff.
Well, we certainly busted up that last minute, I guess.
Yeah, good work.
Cool. Later.